Iraq used to be a major breeding ground for groups inspired by al-Qaeda, but things have changed there. Today, Iraq's Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, said that he expects the U.S. can begin to withdraw its troops faster than the timeline agreed to with the Bush administration. Al-Maliki was speaking at a political rally south of Baghdad. This weekend, Iraq is holding provincial elections, its first elections in 3 years. The World's Katie Clark has more.
A recent Iraqi government-funded survey found that nearly a third of voters listed improving local services as their biggest priority. That says a lot about how far Iraq has come in the past 3 years. Sectarian violence was raging in Iraq during the last elections there in 2005. Megan O'Sullivan was U.S. Deputy National Security Advisor for Iraq and Afghanistan at the time. She's now with Harvard's Kennedy School of Government.
The provincial elections at the beginning of 2005, people were not able to participate because of the security situation. And most of the people who remained outside the political tent were Sunnis.
But Sunni parties are turning out in force this time around. There are more than 4,400 candidates vying for 440 provincial council seats. O'Sullivan says there's no way of knowing just yet which parties will dominate. But she says Iraqis are enjoying what she describes as the widening of the political tent.
Basically, you have new political parties coming forward, and you have groups that are participating against one another that used to run on one big Shia ticket. And the fact that you have this greater fluidity, I think, leads people with good reason to think that there may be a better outcome in these elections.
These elections are also the first in the post-Saddam era to be administered by Iraqis themselves. That, too, may be part of the appeal. But Megan O'Sullivan thinks there's something else going on that's driving voters' interest.
I was in Iraq when Barack Obama was elected president, and I was interested in what a major impression this made on Iraqis. And it wasn't just that Barack Obama was a minority, but it was much more that this election was a validation of the democratic process in the eyes of Iraqis. And it reinforced to them that these institutions can bring about a change that is a reflection of what people want.
That said, Saturday's election is several months behind schedule, and there have already been some irregularities reported. Anthony Cordesman is the Burke Chair in Strategy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. He cautions that enthusiasm alone isn't enough to ensure a successful election. Cordesman predicts that with so many candidates in the running, there's likely to be lots of confusion and eventual disappointment in the people elected.
Many really do not represent any clear political philosophy or parties. Some are going to be tribal, some are going to be local leaders, some are going to be the equivalent of local warlords. Others are going to be elected simply because they happen to be there already.
Cordesman notes, too, that Iraq still lacks many of the basic components of a democratic society. Those include a working rule of law and an effective police force in much of the country. He warns that Iraq's elected officials will also be hampered in their ability to meet their campaign promises by the plummeting price of oil, oil being Iraq's only major source of revenue.
We have to understand that suddenly expecting an election to perform miracles with all of these problems is unrealistic.
Most analysts would agree that Saturday's provincial election in Iraq isn't the end of a long rebuilding process, but a beginning. Transforming Iraq into anything like a democracy is still going to be a long-term proposition. For The World, this is Katie Clark.